Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 1. Says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff and with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Father, again, I ask you this morning, Lord, just to speak to our hearts, Lord, with your word. Lord, I pray that you'll just preach through me this morning, Lord, despite me, Lord, and despite my shortcomings. But, Lord, that your word will reach the heart of these people, Lord, and what you have for them to hear, Lord, and what you have to say to them, Lord, I pray that'll be so this morning. And I pray also that when all of us, Lord, hear your words and consider your words this morning, Lord, when that conviction comes, Lord, I pray we'll take care of it. We'll do what we need to do. Lord, if there's somebody here who has not been saved this morning, Lord, I pray they'll be saved. If somebody hasn't been baptized this morning, Lord, I pray they'll come forward to be baptized. And Lord, there's just Christians here this morning that aren't right, that aren't living right, that aren't pleasing you with the way they live. Lord, I pray that this morning that that'll change, Lord, that they will repent this morning and start living right. Father, again, I'm so thankful for all that you've done for us, Lord, and the fact that you died on the cross for us. And that you gave us your word that we can read and study and know more about you. Lord, I pray that you'll apply that word to our hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these verses, we see Jesus actually beginning his public ministry. And, of course, the word about John the Baptist was beginning to spread. And the word was getting around that a great, somewhat of a national revival was starting to take place on the banks of the River Jordan. Now remember, word didn't travel the same way back then as it does today. You and I can go home today, and we can watch we turn on the news, watch the evening news, and anything that's taking place in the world, for the most part, we can kind of see what happened, or we'd get a word on it, and that's how news would travel. But in the days of Jesus, news didn't travel that way. News traveled by travelers who would travel from one place to another place. Or traders who carried their wares from city to city. That's how news was talked about. That's how people found out about things back in those days. So it would have taken a period of time for that word to get around. But one day that word came to the little town of Galilee, to the little village there of Nazareth. about the baptizing ministry of John the Baptist. And the Lord heard these words, and he knew that his time had come, so he makes his journey to the River Jordan. Now, if you look at a map, you'll find out that where Jesus was coming from to make it to the River Jordan, he would have had to travel about 70 miles walking. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to walk 70 miles. I have not, okay? There was a time I used to run seven miles a day, a long, long time ago. And I still walk, and when I walk, I usually walk 1 or 2 miles. But you're talking about walking 70 miles. He walked 70 miles to be baptized. You know, there are Christians today who need to be baptized, and they won't even come to church. They won't even walk from their car to the church house to get baptized. But Jesus, he walked 70 miles. And the Bible teaches us that baptism is not essential for salvation. I mean, we all know that. However, it is essential for being obedient to the Lord. And another thing, too, we must never disregard anything or minimize anything that Jesus walked 70 miles to do. I'd say he thought it was pretty important, wouldn't you? I mean, he walked 70 miles for it. Now, Jesus only had 3.5 years of his ministry, and he really didn't have time to spend on trivial matters. If Jesus was baptized, we can understand that it's important for us to be baptized as well. It's also important for anybody to be baptized, anybody who's been saved. Now, I want you to notice here in these verses how this thing all happened. And the first thing that you're going to notice here is the change in John. In other words, there was a time when we read here in this passage that the Pharisees come up, and he's bold as a lion when he's talking to these Pharisees. But I want you to notice how John, you start to see a reluctance that comes with John. There in verse 5, look at it. It says, "Then went out him to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan." John had been baptizing hundreds of people here. And then all of a sudden the Lord walks up. And we don't know what time of the day it was when he walks up. I mean, it could have been the afternoon. Maybe John was getting ready to go home after a busy day. Maybe he was anxious to wrap up his work, get a little rest. But the Lord comes up, he walks up to John, and he requests that John baptize him. And when the Lord did walk up to John, there seems to be a change in John the Baptist, the way he reacts. Again, when the Pharisees were standing there and watching John the Baptist preaching and baptizing people, you see, the John that was not the least bit intimidated by them. I mean, he called them the generation of vipers, and who hath warned thee, you know, of the coming destruction and all these things. I mean, he was very bold when he was talking to these Pharisees. The religious crowd was not happy that he was baptizing people. And so he talked to them about the wrath to come. But when Jesus walked up, notice that there seems to be a change in John the Baptist. He becomes somewhat reluctant to baptize Jesus. He says to the Lord, he said, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" Now, why was John seemingly reluctant to baptize Jesus? Why did he hesitate? Why did he say those things? Well, one reason is because obviously John was aware of the sinlessness of the Messiah. Look at verse 11. And what John said about Jesus. In verse 11, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." He's talking about the glory and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw some things in Jesus that he had never seen before. He looked at Jesus and he knew that he was in the presence of no ordinary person. He was in the presence of God manifest in the flesh. He was in the presence of the sinless perfection of the Messiah. And the Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews 4:15, it says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In fact, Jesus one time asked in John chapter 8, verse 46, he asked this question. He said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He asked the question, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" In other words, who among you can point your finger at me and accuse me of sin? Now, folks, listen. If I stood out here and I said the same thing as Jesus did, people would be lined up all the way down the street. Because anybody can, I mean, you look at me and look at yourselves, anybody can accuse us, but nobody could accuse Jesus Christ of anything, of no sin, because he was sinless. And so, Even to this day, enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ never say that there was ever sin in the Lord. Now, there's no sin in him. So John was reluctant because of the sinlessness of Jesus. And because of his own sinfulness, when he's in the presence of Jesus and seeing that Jesus is perfect, at that point, John realized exactly who he was compared to who Jesus Christ was. And you know, folks, that's who we need to be comparing ourselves to. We may think that we're something, but we're comparing ourselves to the wrong people. You see, it's easy to compare ourselves with each other. Because, listen, you've done some bad things in your life. I've done some bad things in my life. You mess up every day. I mess up every day. And it's easy to compare who's messed up the most and who's messed up the least. But how do you fare when you start to compare yourself to Jesus Christ, who never sinned one single time? I'll tell you this, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you're going to realize immediately who he is and who you are. And that really, that's the way it has been all the way through the Bible. You remember back in Isaiah chapter 6, you had Isaiah there, and Isaiah went into the temple there in Isaiah chapter 6, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw that his train filled the entire temple. He was in the presence of God himself there. He was in presence of the Lord. And you know what Isaiah said? The second that he was in the presence of the Lord, he recognized who he was. He said this, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." That's what happens when a person in that Bible is in the presence of the Lord. Immediately they say, wait a second, I'm in the presence of sinlessness. I'm in the presence of perfection. I'm in the presence of God manifest in the flesh. And I'll tell you this, once you realize that, you realize real quick that we aren't much. We aren't much. I think about Peter. When he saw the Lord do the miracle where they went out fishing and they caught so many fish that almost sank the boats. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 after the Lord did that? Here's what Peter said. It says, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He realized who he was in the presence of. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're aware of your own sins. The more you start to see your own failures. And I think really that's the reason why some people don't get saved today. I think there are a lot of people today who aren't saved because they're making the wrong comparison. They're saying, I'm a pretty good person. I've never really done this. I know people who've done this, but I've never really done something like that. I know people here who's a good mom and a good dad, but that's not a good mom or a good dad, but I'm a good mom or a good dad. And they compare themselves with other people. But listen, folks, if you're not saved here this morning, you must understand that you are a sinner before God. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, it doesn't matter that you're better than me. Maybe you have lived a better life than me. Probably have. Maybe you've lived a better life than some of the people in this church. Probably have. But you're comparing yourself to the wrong person. Amen. Listen, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be... Listen, that Bible says that everybody's knee shall bow before the Lord. Everybody's going to have their time before the throne. And let me tell you, when you get before that throne, you're going to know immediately where you stand before God. When you're standing there before perfection, before sinlessness, you're going to know exactly where you stand. And listen, if you do not have the righteousness of Christ on, then you're going to be seen for exactly who you are. And that Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Amen. And so, folks, there are people today, there may be somebody in this room today that says, I'm not saved, but I haven't robbed a bank or anything. I don't even know anybody who's robbed a bank. Well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. Well, listen, maybe you haven't. But I guarantee you that I can find something in your past that I can point to. All it takes is one sin. And you're done. Now, there's nobody in here who could say, I have never sinned. In fact, the Bible says if you say that, you're a liar. That means you sinned. Amen? Amen? And so John here, he's reluctant to baptize Jesus because he realized that he was in the presence of greatness. He was in the presence of sinlessness. But though John was reluctant to baptize Jesus, Jesus insisted on John baptizing him. So we see John's reluctance, but I want you to look at how the Lord was insistent. Look at verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. When he said, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness," he was saying that it is proper or fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Why did Jesus say that? Well, Jesus insisted on baptizing, or John baptizing, first of all, because John had been prophesied to come. There's a reason why Jesus went to John and said, I want you to baptize me, because it had been prophesied. Look back at verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. When John the Baptist was baptizing people, he was baptizing to manifest Christ to Israel. He had been prophesied to come in the Old Testament. And there he was baptizing people. And he said, well, how was he making the way straight for the Lord? How was he making the Lord's path straight according to the prophecy here? Well, what he's doing is he's out there in the water, and he's calling all of Israel to him, and he's saying, all of you come, repent, get down the water, change the way you're looking at things, repent of your sins, confess your sins, and be baptized in this water. And if you get baptized in this water, you'll know that Jesus Christ is King. What he was doing, he was making the way straight. He was making a path where everybody could come and the Lord could set up his kingdom. That's what he was prophesied to do. He's out there doing this. He's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, if you'll get down here and repent, he'll set up his kingdom. He was the one who was prophesied to come. And so when Jesus comes up, he was not going to have anybody else baptize him but John. He insisted that John the Baptist baptize him because he had been prophesied to come. Another reason why Jesus was baptized was because it was the right thing to do. Verse 15. Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. The word righteousness means that which is right, that which is free from guilt or sin. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was baptized in obedience to God's plan. It was the right thing to do. And you know, there are some people today that believe that you're baptized to wash away your sins. You're not. Listen, you can jump in a baptistry and I can dunk you 100 times and it won't wash the first sin off of you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from sin. But a lot of people today, they start to teach that water baptism washes away sin. Well, you got a problem here because Jesus Christ got baptized and he was sinless. He was sinless. But he did it to fulfill all righteousness. He did it as an act of obedience to God. And may I tell you that water baptism is the very first act of obedience to the Lord after a person gets saved. And submission and obedience is the single most important thing to realize when it comes to baptism. That's what it's all about. And so when Jesus said, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, he was saying the right thing for me to do is get baptized. And John, the right thing for you to do is baptize me. And so the Bible says he suffered him. And may I say to you this morning, if you have never been baptized, you should be baptized. And you say, why, Pastor? To fulfill all righteousness. It's the right thing to do. It's the scriptural thing to do. And we're commanded to do it. Jesus was baptized. He was baptized by John because John was prophesied to come. He was baptized because it was the right thing to do. He was also baptized to demonstrate the correct way to be baptized. How many of you understand that Jesus Christ is our great example? He is our great example. He's our great example of how to live, how to be, everything. The greatest example of how to live your life is Jesus Christ, hands down. You know why? Because he was holy. And the Lord said, be ye holy for I am holy. So if you want to know how to live a holy life, who are you going to look at besides Jesus Christ? Amen? So Jesus Christ is our great example. He's also our great example on how to be the correct way to be baptized. Now, there are people today all over the world who call themselves Christians, who profess to be Christians, who have not been baptized the way that Bible says a person's supposed to be baptized. And there are a lot of people there who have been baptized differently in the Bible who will sit there and say, well, baptism's just baptism. I've been baptized. That's all that matters. Well, wait a second. There's a right way and wrong way to do anything. Amen? And over and over and over, not only does Jesus teach us how the right way to be baptized is, but all the way through Scripture it teaches us how the right way the person is supposed to be baptized. There's a right way and a wrong way. And you say, well, what's so important about it? Well, because of what it pictures. That makes it very important, what baptism pictures. Now, I want you to look here what it says in verse 16. And you got to pay attention here because you see something very important. In verse 16, it says this. And Jesus, when he was baptized, watch it, went up straightway out of the water. Now, I'm no genius. But does it make sense to you that after he was baptized, if he walks out of the water, does that mean before he got baptized he had to walk into the water? Yes. You can't come out of the water unless you've already been in the water. Amen? There are people today that when they baptize people, what they'll do is stick their fingers, a priest stick his fingers in water and go sprinkle on top of the head. I even saw something online the other day where it showed this one priest with a water gun. Listen, there ain't nothing scriptural about that. Right? You say, well, that's silly doing a water gun. Yeah, it's silly sprinkling them on top of the head, too. Why? Jesus Christ never got sprinkled on top of the head. He went down in the water. He went into the water, and then he came out of the water. You say, well, that's just one example. Okay, turn over to Acts chapter 8. We'll look at another one. Now, in Acts chapter 8, you got a Gentile getting saved here. He gets saved, and then look what happens to him. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 36. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And it says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Very, very important question. He's saying, I want to get baptized. What is stopping me from getting baptized? What do I need to do first before I get baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I hope your Bible actually has that verse in there. Not every Bible has that verse in there. That's a pretty important verse to take out, wouldn't you say? The King James Bible has it in there. And he says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In other words, you got to believe first, and then you can get baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, watch it, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. It makes it very clear there, just the same as it was with Jesus, that to get baptized, he had to walk down into the water to get baptized, and then when he got done, he walked out of the water. No sprinkling going on there. Now somebody got into the water. Amen? No sprinkling. All right? And so again, you see the example of how a person is supposed to be baptized, or the way a person is supposed to be baptized. You say, how is it? You got to go down in the water and you got to come up out of the water. Okay? And so there's no such thing as being baptized with water sprinkled on top of your head. If you've only been sprinkled with water, if you've only been sprinkled with water and you call that baptism, you have not been scripturally baptized. You have not. The Bible's example is for you to go into water and be immersed in water. Also, in every instance that somebody got baptized in the New Testament, that person was saved first. Amen. What about Jesus? Well, Jesus was sinless. He didn't need to be saved. He's the Savior. But you know that eunuch? He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, you got to believe first. And he believed, he confessed Jesus Christ, and then he was put in the water. That's the biblical example. Now listen, if you were baptized as a young child, if you were baptized earlier in your life, but you really weren't saved, and then all of a sudden later on in life you really got saved, you really received Jesus Christ your Savior, may I tell you need to be baptized again. Why? You were not scripturally baptized. To be scripturally baptized, you've got to be in the water, come out of the water. To be scripturally baptized, you've got to believe first. If you got baptized first and then you believed, I know this may hurt, but you need to be baptized again because you have not been scripturally baptized. Are you following me here this morning? Very important that you understand this, okay? And you say, well, why do I have two in the first place? Because it's the right thing to do. Because God, that's God's plan. And so the biblical example for baptism, scriptural baptism, is you got to be saved first and you got to get down in the water. Jesus went down in the water, he came up out of the water. And when Jesus went down in the water, he was publicly picturing his death and burial. And then when he came out of the water, you know what he was picturing? His resurrection. Folks, that's the reason why sprinkling is not right. Because even today, if you come to me and say, well, Pastor, I need to be baptized, what we're going to do is we're going to fill up a big old trough back here in the back. And that water's going to be cold, too. Nah, it ain't going to be that bad. It's either that or the river. Your choice. I'll do either. I don't care. But what happens when if you say, I need to be baptized, then I'm going to take you back there, and I'm going to have you hold your nose, and I'm going to ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why do I need to ask that? Because you got to be saved first before you get baptized. Now, all I can do is take your word on it. But really, that's all I can do is take anybody's word on it. I don't know if anybody's saved here today. I know I am. The rest of you people, I don't know. I hope you are. But I'm going to ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you say no, then I'll say you need to be saved and out of the water you're going to go. But if you say yes, at that point, you know what I'm going to do? You're going to go into the water. And when I take you down in that water, I'm showing the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And then when I pick you up, you know what that shows? The resurrection of Jesus Christ coming out of the grave. That's what baptism is. Now, let me ask you something. If I sprinkle you, how am I showing the death and burial of Jesus Christ? I don't mean to say this to be vulgar or unrespectful. It's not my intention. But when a person dies, do you not put them in the grave and then cover them up with dirt? That's what you do. Jesus was put in that tomb and the door was closed. Amen? How in the world are you picturing somebody death and burial by taking this sprinkle water on their head? You can't. That's the reason you've got to go into water and come out of the water. Jesus was in the tomb. He come out of the tomb. We're going to talk about that on Easter Sunday morning. Amen? He was in the tomb. He come out. The greatest news this world has ever heard came from a graveyard. He is risen. But listen, how can you show that unless you come up out of the water? You can't. That's the reason Jesus said you got to go down in the water and out of the water. The Ethiopian eunuch went down the water, out of the water, but they were saved first. Got to be saved first. And so as I lower you down, that I'm showing you exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. I'm also showing you a picture when you get baptized. I'm also showing what happened to you. You were buried in his death, but you're going to come up out of the grave one of these days. So you and I as believers are baptized. When we're baptized, we're identifying ourselves publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're simply saying, I identify myself with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was reluctant to baptize Jesus. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But the Lord insisted that John baptize him. He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. And so John took him down in the water, and he was baptized, and then he came up out of the water. And the Bible says in verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Jesus never did anything outside the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now this event was also prophesied back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 61:1, in the context of the coming of the Messiah, it said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. In Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What you just now saw at this baptism, that's exactly what was prophesied. Everything Jesus did, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the perfect Son of God require the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon his ministry, why in the world would we ever try to do anything in our own power? Why would we ever do that? You can do nothing without the Lord. But the good news is the same Holy Spirit who came upon Jesus that day is available to every believer today. Look down at verse 17. It says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now I want you to notice here that every person of the Trinity is seen right here in these verses. You have God the Son coming up out of the water after being baptized. You have God the Holy Spirit like a dove descending upon Jesus. And then the voice of the Father is heard. You got all three of the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here's God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the Father's approval about what Jesus just did. It's not a coincidence that God just happened to say right after Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, got into water and was baptized, then immediately God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Wouldn't you like to hear those words one of these days? Amen. Now listen, none of us are begotten. The only begotten of God is Jesus Christ. But the Bible says if you have received Jesus Christ, that you're a son of God. You're one of the sons of God because you received him and you believed upon his name, according to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. You are the sons of God today. And one of these days, you're going to stand before him as sons. But wouldn't it be great to hear when you get to heaven, "This is Bob," or "This is Tom," or "This is Ed, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be good words to hear? Isn't it something that he said that right after he was baptized? Do you see that God approves of a person getting baptized? Of a son of his getting baptized? A person that's saved, the first thing you need to do is get baptized before you do anything else. His ministry never started until after he got baptized. What I'm trying to say to you today is this: if you want to please the Father and you're saved, get baptized. Because that'll please him. He made that very clear here. Now, does it make sense to you that if you're saved here today and you say, "Well, I just don't think it's important to get baptized." Well, if it pleases him that you do get baptized, I think you can safely say that it's going to displease him if you don't. Amen? Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Now, I'll throw in another thing there too. Not only was it the right thing to do, and not only does it please the Father, but we're commanded as believers to be baptized. In the same book, Matthew, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus gave a great commission. And that great commission is found here in Matthew chapter 28. And here's what he is telling. He's telling every believer, he's saying, I've arisen from the dead. I've been baptized. I've taught the right way to be baptized. I did it to fulfill all righteousness. The Father was pleased that I got baptized. Now here's what I want you to do. In Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 19. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," watch it, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." You know what he just said? He said, "Listen, now that you're saved, I want you to go out and teach them of me. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them how he died for the sins of the whole world. Tell them how everybody on this whole planet, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ has given his life so that you may be saved. And you must trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ." And then after they do, after they receive Jesus Christ, they're to be baptized. Folks, that's a command. That's an ordinance of the church. There's only two. The Lord's Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't say, "Consider doing it." He didn't say, "If you have time, maybe possibly do it." No, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper because we're commanded to do it. It's an ordinance of the church. Oh, and by the way, it's a great blessing to do it too, because what it does, it shows all of us, it reminds all of us the price that Jesus Christ paid for our soul on that cross of Calvary. And if you've never done the Lord's Supper, I really want to encourage you to do the Lord's Supper, but you got to be baptized before you can do it. You need to be a member of the church before you can do it. But I want to encourage you to do the Lord's Supper. It's an ordinance of the church. It's a command. And so is baptism. Now, I don't like being blunt, but sometimes you just got to be blunt. If you have not been baptized and you're saved, now you know. Now you know the importance of it. Okay? You know it's been commanded. You know that the Lord says that he's pleased with it. You know that Jesus Christ did to fulfill all righteousness. It was the right thing to do. If you've not been baptized, then you need to be baptized. But if you're one of those people that say, you know what, I'm just not going to get in front of those people. You know, I'm scared to death. Well, wait a second. You're showing what Jesus Christ did for you. If you're saved, aren't you happy about that? Or are you what Paul says, ashamed of the gospel? Now, listen, if you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and you are saved and you have been baptized, just be baptized. You say, what about how this person feels? Who cares how other people feel about it? Who cares? Jesus Christ saved you and you're going to heaven one of these days. Don't you want to show people what happened to you? That's what baptism is. Be baptized. But if you're one of those folks that says, I'm just not going to be baptized, then you must know that that is being disobedient to the Lord. And that's a first order of disobedience. How in the world could you be expected to be obedient to him in anything if you won't even do the first thing he told you to do? To be baptized. It really isn't that big a deal. In fact, this pastor actually kind of makes it fun because I always mess up somehow. Either I wipe, I don't know, some of you already know, but one baptism here not too long ago, I slammed a person down in the water. Nobody's going to get baptized after I tell these stories, but I slammed one person down in the water a little bit faster than normal, and it made this big wave. And there was somebody standing right there, wiped them out. I baptized two with one. Amen? It happens. But you know what? It happens quick. Now, everybody in here, anybody here has been baptized will tell you it's not, I mean, everybody makes a big deal out of it. It is a big deal to the Lord. It is a big deal to you. But really, it's not like it's complicated. I just take you and I put you in the water gently. And I take you out gently. But think about what you're showing everybody else. You're showing them what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. When he took upon himself your sins and mine. When he was beaten, when he was whipped, and he was killed, and he was marred more than any other man, and they put him in that grave, all for us. And when he come up out of that grave, that guaranteed every single Christian in here that we have everlasting life. Because it proved it, that he is who he said he was. And one of these days, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us will remain and will meet him in the air, and we'll be forever be with the Lord. Why? Because he come up out of that grave. Don't you want to show people that? You're not ashamed of that, are you? If you've never been baptized, be baptized. It pleases the Lord. And I'll say this too. If you're living a life today where you're not confessing your sins, maybe you've already been baptized, maybe you've already been saved. But if you're living a life today that you know that you're hiding some secret sin and you're not confessing some secret sin, believe me, the Lord is not pleased with that. The Lord wants to be in fellowship with you. So whatever it is, just confess the thing and get and start new. Confess it. Get right with the Lord this morning. The Lord's Supper's coming up. If there's any sins that you have never confessed, confess those sins now. Get yourself worthy. And that's what it's all about. That's how you make yourself worthy. Confess your sins before the Lord. Get clean before the Lord. And then partake of the Lord's Supper when the time comes. But the only one this morning can say, I am right with God. I've been saved. I've been baptized. And I'm right with God. Well, then amen. Go tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and let's get them in here and get them saved and baptized as well. Amen? But if you're doing anything that's disobedient to the Lord this morning, especially when it comes to baptism, just get baptized, folks, because it pleases God. Let's stand.